Wilson Grove Baptist Church. If it's your first time visiting with us, please take a moment to fill out the visitor card in the pew in front of you and drop it in the offering plate as it comes around. Our homebound member of the week is Mr. and Mrs. Jody Hagler, Roy and Jody Hagler. So please keep them in your prayers this week, as well all the others that are on the prayer list. We do have a few birthdays this week. We have a few that are a correction and an addition. So we do have Dutch Wormuth, who's today is his birthday, July 14th, our drummer. So please wish him a happy birthday. Jerry Pace is July 17th, and Kathy Hagler is July 17th. So please keep them in your prayers. Travis's is not listed that way. His was in June. So just want to make that correction. Noah wants to come up real quick, give an announcement about nominating and all the committees.
Good morning, everyone. It's everyone's favorite time of year. Committee sign-ups. Yay! So everybody needs to be excited to get involved and get joined in something. We especially want to encourage our new members that may not know what all committees we have to look at the sign-up table over here on my right. Check out what we have going on. There is a place in our church for you. God has given everyone his specific place. If I may read a little bit of scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 18. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it not therefore of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, each of them in the body, as it has pleased him. So please, join us in fulfilling our unique roles and functions in the body of Christ, our church, Wilson Grove. Thank you.
Good job, brother. Thank you, Noah. Appreciate that. All right, continuing on, Wednesday, July 13th. Now, y'all know I got a sweet tooth bigger than anybody in here. This is the ice cream and dessert social. Homemade ice cream, I might add. I'm already salivating thinking about this. We're already talking about, we're supposed to be working late Wednesday, and I'm already figuring out how I can get off work to be here. So don't miss that. The clothes closet is Saturday, July 20th from 9 to 12 noon. Sunday, July 21st is a baptism service. Please make note of that, ladies and gentlemen. That is an awesome time. Thursday, July 25th, is grief share from 6 to 8 p.m. A quick note, too, want to just let everybody know that Steve Ferris's dad passed away this past Thursday. The service is today, so please keep Steve and their whole family in your prayers this week. And I'm going to go on further, too, and in light of what happened yesterday, please keep this nation in your prayers. If you don't know, we'll talk about it after the fact, but I just want to let you know we need to keep this great nation in our prayers. Beyond that, that's about all the announcements I've got, so please go to the Lord in prayer with me. Our dear Heavenly Father God, as we humbly come before you, Father, I just thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, as you give us this opportunity to come to your house and openly and freely worship you, Lord, I just pray that you would, Lord, just help align our hearts with you here this morning so we can truly worship and serve you here. Father, I just lift up the many that are sick, that are hurting. Lord, we lift up Steve Ferris and their family in this special time of need, Father, that you would just wrap your loving arms around them. Father, we do pray that you would be with this nation. Father, help us, Lord, to get back to the one nation under God, Father, to honor and serve you. And, Father, we just pray that you'd be with Pastor Tony here this morning, that, Father, that you would just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to him. Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to lead God and direct us in all that we say and do. And, Lord, if there's anyone that has yet to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father, we just ask that you would allow today to be that day. And, Father, just help us to be real careful to thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' most holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing. and you're desperate for some healing, well, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, he rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen, amen. Who can wipe away the tears, broken dreams and wasted years, and tell the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus, and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. But let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
So I wasn't here last week. I was sick, and so my family stayed home. So my five-year-old son, Wyatt, he got up that morning, and we had to break his heart, tell him that we couldn't come to church today. And so Monday came, and he got all dressed up again, ready to come to church. Tuesday came, same thing. All this week, he dressed up every day for church. And so breaks my heart, but my question is, are you as excited as Wyatt is about church today? Are you as excited to come and worship your Father in his house today? Our first song is Your House, followed by Footsteps of Jesus, hymn number 325. Please stand and sing with us.
Dark. joy, song of the earth, born in the heavens. See his glory like fire, rising like smoke. One voice calling out, the King is among us. He is good, his love endures. He is good, and his love endures. We come into your house. We come into your house. We come into your house with thanksgiving and praise. We come into your house. We come into your house with thanksgiving and praise, all for your name. Hope, we have this hope, firm and secure. In the promise, he is good, his love endures. He is good, and his love endures. We come into your house, we come into your house. With thanksgiving and praise, we come into your house. We come into your house. We come into your house with thanksgiving and praise, all for your name. For your name.
For the Lord is good.
For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. For the Lord. For the Lord is good and his love. the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep. Or along by Siloam's fountain, milking the weak. Footprints of Jesus.
Offerings for you, for your good, and be with the people that need you, Lord, that are hurting, and I pray, amen.
Amen.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Father, I've known you as a friend. in the goodness. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running out, it's running out to me. Your goodness is running out, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I'm surrendered now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I will sing of the goodness of God. You know, everybody in this room could be singing of the goodness of God, but so many of you aren't singing at all. So I'm going to take time from my pulpit to say, why are you here if you're not wanting to worship and praise God? He is so, so good. He's worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. And it doesn't matter if you like hymns or praise and worship songs. He is worthy of our praise. I didn't stand up here to chastise you this morning. Too late. That's right. Too late. I want to echo what Chris said at the beginning of the service. We do need to pray for our country. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you stand on, we need to pray for our country. And I'm going to ask you if you would continue to do that. You know, the Bible tells us that we are to pray for our leaders no matter who they are. We need to be praying for our leaders, and we need to do that more as a church. We definitely need to do that more in this country. We need to be praying. We need to be on our hands and our knees praying for our country. That's not what our message is about this morning, though. It's about how God wants to bless you. How many of you believe that God wants to bless you? Let me ask that again. How many of you believe that God wants to bless you? You ought to have both hands up in the air. God wants to bless you. I want you to listen to an 8-year-old boy's explanation of who God is. This is what he said. One of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die so there'll be enough people to take care of things on earth. Now, he doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they're smaller and easier to make. And that way, he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and walk. He could just leave that to the moms and the dads. God sees everything and hears everything and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something that they said you couldn't have. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Amen? That's right. All of us can praise the Lord. The little boy goes on to say, if you don't believe in God, you'll be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like to camp, but God can. It's good to know He's around you when you're scared in the dark or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown into the deep end by the big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here and He can take me back anytime He pleases. And that's why I believe in God. I love that. You know, that boy's parents did an excellent job of raising him to know the truth about who God is. But the one thing that comes through in that boy's explanation of who God is was this. This little boy believes in a personal God. And his God makes people. And his God listens to them. And his God cares for them. And his God is nearby when they're scared or lonely. Well, that pretty much sums it up because, my friends, that's the kind of God that the Bible tells us about. And our passage today is the 12th chapter of Genesis. The 12th chapter of Genesis. Before we go there, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You here this morning because we love You. And we are here in this place because we want to worship You. You are an awesome God. And we know, O Lord, that You care about us. And we know, O Lord, that You want to walk with us and You want to talk with us. And I know, O Lord, that You're there whenever we're scared or lonely. You are awesome. And my prayer, O Lord, is that when we leave this place in just a little while, that we will leave feeling a little bit closer to You than when we first came in. Thank You for loving us. And we pray, O Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will move and speak to us this morning in a mighty way. And it's these things that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, we see the beginning of one of the most personal and profound relationships that any man has ever had with God. And I'm talking about Abraham. A little over a fourth of Genesis is dedicated to telling his story. And much of the rest of the Old Testament testifies to his importance because throughout the Old Testament, usually when God is describing Himself to somebody, He describes Himself as the God of who? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the reason that Abraham holds such a place of importance in the Old Testament is because God began His covenant relationship with Israel through him. Now, what makes this relationship that God had with Abraham very unique and very special is this. You see, Abraham wasn't what you and I would call a great man. When he first comes on the scene in Scripture, he's not known as a great man. I mean, as far as we can tell, he was probably an older, married, moderately successful herdsman with no children. You see, Abraham didn't have any followers. He didn't have any disciples. He didn't write any books, at least none that we know of. He wasn't a great warrior. He wasn't a great teacher. He wasn't a great politician. The only real claim to fame that Abraham had was that God chose him. God chose him. And he also made special promises to Abraham. Now, what were those promises? Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12. Look at verses 2 and 3 of our passage. Look at the promises that God made Abraham. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And then skip ahead to verse 7. Here's another promise that God made with Abraham. To your offspring, I will give this land. Now, let's list the promises here that God made with Abraham. In fact, let's count them, all right? I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. All the people on earth will be blessed through you, and I will give this land to your offspring. How many promises? Eight. Eight promises that God made to Abraham. Wouldn't you love to have those promises from God? Because you see, in a nutshell, what God was telling Abraham was this. Abraham, I want a relationship with you. I want to be there for you. I want to listen to you. I want to walk beside you. I want to take care of you. And I want to be there for you when you're scared or lonely. And even more than that, God was promising to make Abraham such a great man that he would even affect the lives of his children and the lives of his grandchildren and even the entire world. So the first question that comes to mind is this. Why? Why would God choose a nobody like Abraham to give all these blessings to? Why on earth would God choose this man? Because I'm sure there were other men that God could have chosen. There were younger men and more influential men and more skillful men. But why this middle-aged herdsman with no children? Why choose Abraham? Here's why. God saw what was in Abraham's heart. He saw what was in Abraham's heart. And as God later told the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord, He looks at the heart. Dear friends, what we need to understand is that God has placed inside each one of our hearts a God-shaped hole. A God-shaped hole, which means that only God can fill it. In other words, God has placed inside each one of our hearts a hunger that only He can satisfy. And that emptiness, that hunger for so many people today is one of the main reasons why they are so dissatisfied with the life that they're living and they're so dissatisfied with the world in which they live. Well, this passage about Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 is meant to teach us that that dissatisfaction with life, that hunger that's within us, can only be satisfied when we have a relationship with God. It can only be satisfied when we have a relationship with God, because again, we have a God-shaped hole. Nothing else and no one else can fill that hole except God. I want you to look what God tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 3. I have it on the screen, but as I read these three verses, I want you to do something. I want you to try to find out or try to see two words that are the main themes of this passage, okay? Two words. Here's what God says. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. What are the two words? Come and listen. Come and listen. Come to God. Listen to Him. And my friends, if you do that, He can give you that which will satisfy your soul. And if you do that, He will give you what will fill your soul. And if you do that, He says He will make a covenant with you, which means that He'll establish a relationship with you. And that is exactly what happened with Abraham. You see, inside of Abraham, there was a hunger that only God could satisfy. There was a need for a relationship inside of him that only God could supply. And so when God approached Abraham, he was ready to make a decision to follow God. To follow God no matter wherever God led him. Because when God said to him in verse 1, I've only read to you the promises that God made to Abraham. But before he made those promises, God actually told Abraham to do something first. Look at verse 1. Look at what God told Abraham to do. Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. So when God said those words to Abraham in verse 1, what did Abraham do? What did Abraham do after God told him to go? He went. He packed up his tents and he went. No discussion, no argument, no excuses. When God said go, Abraham went. Now, I want you to contrast that reaction to God's call with how another great man in Scripture responded to a very similar call from God. In the book of Exodus, you know this story. God appears to Moses in what? A burning bush, right? God appears to Moses in a burning bush, and God speaks to him from that burning bush, and he tells Moses, Moses, I want you to go. I want you to go down to Egypt and lead my people out of slavery. And so you see, God said go to Moses just like God said go to Abraham. But with Moses, how did Moses respond when God told him to go? He made excuses. He said, Lord, who am I to do this? What if they don't listen to me? And besides that, I don't speak well enough. And God, He answered every question that Moses had. He countered every objection that Moses raised. And then finally, Moses just gave up all pretense whatsoever and said what was really on his mind. Exodus chapter 4, verse 13. After God told him to go to Egypt, Moses replied, please send someone else. Please send someone else. Now that was how Moses initially responded to God. Now eventually Moses did go. But that was not his initial response. But not Abraham. Not Abraham. Abraham didn't argue with God. He didn't make excuses with God. He didn't do any of those things because inside of him, in Abraham's heart, there was a hunger that only God could satisfy. And so when God offered Abraham, he jumped at the chance. You know, God had close relationships with other human beings before Abraham came along, didn't he? Go all the way back to the beginning of Scripture. God had a very close relationship with Adam and Eve, didn't He? He loved Adam and Eve. He gave them a wonderful place to live. He cared for them and He walked with them and He listened to them. Very close relationship. And then there was Enoch. God had a very close relationship with Enoch. In fact, the Bible tells us that Enoch walked closely with God for 300 years. And then what about Noah? Did God have a close relationship with Noah? You better believe He did. Out of all the people on the earth, Noah was the only righteous one that he could find to build the ark and replenish the earth after the flood. But dear friends, if you take all of the verses dedicated in Scripture to those people, to Adam and Eve and to Enoch and to Noah, and you put all of those verses together, you wouldn't even have half the attention that is spent on Abraham. Now why? Why would that be? Why so much time and attention to Abraham? Dear friends, I believe that God spent so much time and attention on Abraham, and that God spent so much time telling us about Abraham because He wanted to show us something about this man. You see, with Abraham, God was beginning to do something new. He was beginning to do something different. He was making a covenant with this man. A covenant that was to be the foundation of everything else that God intended to do, including Him eventually sending His own Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins. In a nutshell, this is what God was doing with Abraham, right here beginning in Genesis chapter 12. God was starting a new religion. He was starting a new religion right here with Him as the foundation, Abraham as the first brick, and ultimately Jesus as the cornerstone. He was starting a new religion right here with Abraham. Now, think about many of the world's other religions. You know, many of the world's other religions, they're based on the teachings, or they've been started by great teachers, by men, right? Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad. But those religions, they're based on the teachings of mere men. But when God began His religion, He didn't base it on a man. He didn't base it on Abraham. Because again, Abraham was never considered to be a prophet, a teacher, or a preacher. Abraham's only claim to fame was that he walked with God. And you see, that is exactly what God wants us to understand. You see, His religion that He was starting with Abraham was a religion based on a relationship. A relationship. Now, initially it was a relationship with God. But today, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. But today, Christianity, that relationship is based on who? Jesus Christ, God's Son. See, that's what's so unique about Abraham. What's the title of my sermon? Look in your bulletin. God wants to do what? God wants to bless you, right? God wants to bless you. Now, why does He want to bless you? Because you're valuable to Him. You're valuable to Him. You have value to Him, not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything that you've accomplished, not because of how rich you might be or successful you might be or how good looking you might be. You are valuable to God because you're made in His image. You're made in His image. You're valuable to Him. He wants to have a relationship with you because you're valuable to Him. Just like He wanted to do with Abraham. Now let me ask you, how many of you have pictures of your children or grandchildren on your refrigerator or on your walls? Why? Why are those pictures there? Because they're valuable to you. They're valuable to you. Those pictures are there because they're valuable to you, because those kids are made in your image and you love them. Now imagine, if you will, sitting up there in heaven right now, one gigantic, humongous refrigerator. If you're a Christian, guess what? Your picture is on that refrigerator somewhere. Why? Why is your picture on that refrigerator? Because you're valuable to Him. You're starting to get the picture here, right? You're valuable to Him. You're made in His image. He loves you, and because He loves you, He also wants to bless you. In fact, God is so serious about blessing you that He gets a little upset when other people don't bless you. Look at verse 3 again in Genesis chapter 12. God telling Abraham this, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. Now let me ask you, was that promise only for Abraham? Anybody want to dare fathom a guess? Was that promise only for Abraham? No. It's not. You know, there are a lot of Bible scholars out there that will argue that this particular promise of God was only for Abraham. And they believe that only Abraham was promised that those who blessed him would be blessed and those who cursed him would be cursed. But I don't believe that's true whatsoever. You see, I believe that that promise is also for us. And I've got some scripture to back it up. I want you to look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now, what is Jesus saying there? He's saying that God will bless those who bless you. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Thessalonians 1:6. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Now, what's Paul saying there? He's saying God will curse those who curse you. So do you see that that promise is also meant for us? Now, I don't know about you, but I find a lot of comfort in that. I find great comfort in that. Because I am so glad that God is that focused on my needs. And I am so glad that He cares so much for me that He will reward people who watch out for me and He will harshly deal with people who hurt me. I'm glad about that, aren't you? See, that promise is for us too. But it doesn't stop there, though. Look at the very end of verse 3. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God speaking to Abraham. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now let me ask the same question. Is that promise, or was that promise just for Abraham? Or is that promise also for us as well? You tell me. It's for us too. And again, I've got scripture to back it up. You see, just as God told Abraham that all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through him, so also God intends that everyone that you meet are going to be blessed through you. God wants to bless your children through you. He wants to bless your grandchildren through you. He even wants to bless your co-workers and your classmates and your neighbors through you. Because every single one of them should be impacted by the relationship you have with God to the point where everything that you say and everything that you do will make those other people think about God. And in the same way, in your relationship with the people around you, everything that you say and everything that you do should also point other people to Jesus. Here's the scripture I said I was going to back it up with. Matthew 5:16, the words of Jesus. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And then do what? I don't have it on the screen. I'm sorry. They will glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and then they will glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, what Jesus is saying there, He is saying, that if by your love and your joy and your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and your faithfulness and your self-control, what are all those things, by the way? Fruits of the Spirit. By the fruits of the Spirit that you show to others, if by this fruit that these folks that you are in contact with every day, if by this fruit these folks begin looking to God, then it will ultimately lead to them wanting God as their Heavenly Father as well. God wants to bless you. But dear friends, He also wants to bless others through you. There's a great hymn of the faith entitled, Make Me a Channel of Blessing. I'm going to read the chorus to you. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing, make me a channel of blessing today. Dear friends, is your life a channel of blessing to those around you? Is your life a channel of blessing to your family, to your friends, to your co-workers, to your classmates, to your neighbors? Is your life a blessing to them? Praise team, come on up. We're getting ready to close. Now remember, I said that there were two things that God wanted us to see in this relationship that He had with Abraham. I've only talked about one. Well, what is the second thing that God wants us to see in this relationship with Abraham? Here it is. God wants a response from us. God wants a response from us. You see, it's not enough for you to merely want God in your life because of that God-shaped hole in your heart. And it's not enough for you to see the blessings of God, all the blessings that God offers, and want those blessings for your life. You see, before Abraham could lay hold of all of those blessings, the ones that are in verses 2 and 3 of our passage, listen to me. Before Abraham could lay hold of all of those blessings, he had to make a decision first. He had to make a choice first. Going back to verse 1, the very first words from God to Abraham was this: Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Then he told him about the blessings. You see, Abraham had to make a decision first. God said, you do all of these things, and if you do all of these things, then my blessings, I'm going to bless you beyond measure. I'm going to pour out my blessings on you. But Abraham, he had to make a choice first. It's almost as if God was saying to Abraham, I can give you your heart's desire, but you got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. You got to make up your mind to leave who you've been, to leave where you've been, to leave how you've lived. And you got to make up your mind to go where I want you to go, and to live where I want you to live, and to live how I want you to live. But you got to leave your old life behind. Dear friends, God tells us that the very same thing is true of salvation. We've got to leave our old life behind and be born again into a new life with Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Jesus said in Mark 8:36, "What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" Dear friend, today is the day that some of you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. Some of you need to make a choice to ask Jesus into your heart, to turn your life over to Jesus. And I guarantee you, when you do that, God will pour out His blessings on you. And some of you, you need to make a choice to make this your church home. The Christian life is not meant to be gone through alone. We need other people to make that journey with us. And when you make that choice, God's going to pour out some more blessings on you. Others of you, you already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But you realize you haven't been doing what God has been wanting you to do in your walk with Him. You've got a choice to rededicate your life, to come back to where God wants you, to have that relationship with Him restored. And I guarantee you, when you do that, He's going to pour out His blessings on you too. But before He blesses you, you've got to make a choice first. We're going to pray together. And as soon as I say amen, the band's going to start playing. And when they start playing, that's when you need to make a choice. What is that choice going to be for you today? Let's all stand. Right now, let's everybody stand. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for another wonderful opportunity to be in your house. And my prayer, O Lord, is that when we came in here, that we came in here with an attitude of thanksgiving and praise. And I pray, O Lord, that when we leave here, that we will leave here closer to You. Speak to us, O Lord. Speak to us, O Lord. Oh, how we want Your blessings upon this church, upon our families, upon our lives. And my prayer, oh Lord, is that everyone here will make the right decision so that You can pour out those blessings in their life. Thank You for loving us. And it's these things that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for You, we live for You. Holy, there is no one like You, there is none beside You. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who You are and fill me with Your heart and lead me in Your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for You. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever sing. Word. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken, and I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and
Emily, to keep on playing. Emily, keep on playing for a moment. Sandra came forward and she wanted to issue an invitation to all of you as well. And she asked if each one of you, if you feel so led, would join her at the altar to pray. To pray for our country. To pray for our country specifically, but I'm going to add to that. To pray for our church. To pray for our town. To pray for our state. Need some prayer warriors here at the altar this morning. Oh, how we need prayer. For others of you, just pray at your seat. You can pray at your seat. That's fine. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son to die on that cross for us. We praise you, O Lord. You are worthy of our praise. And we thank you, O Lord, for the opportunities and the freedom that we have to live in this country. But, O Lord, our country needs you. And I know, O Lord, so many in our country, in our government, in our entertainment, in our media, they turned their backs on you, O Lord. But my prayer, O Lord, is that you won't turn your back on us. We feel your presence here with us even right now. And we just pray, O Lord, that you will touch our country, that you will bring healing to it. And we lift up our leaders. No matter who they are, you have put them in those positions and you have called on us to pray for them. And we pray, O Lord, that they will seek your face, that they will seek your wisdom. And we pray, O Lord, that this hatred, this animosity, this division, this opposition that we have seen our country in now for seems like a decade, we pray, O Lord, that you will intervene. And we pray, O Lord, that we as a country will come back to you. Thank you again for loving us. And it's these things that I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all have a great week. May God bless you. See you back next Sunday morning. And remember, Wednesday night is our ice cream and dessert social. Hope you can be a part of that.